need someone to show me my place in all this.
It is time to return to yet another episode of Let's Talk About Star Wars. Yeah, we're going to talk about the trailer, folks. It's going to happen if
was
you
there
are...
a trailer?
There was, Tom.
There was a trailer.
Do we need to pause the podcast? Do you need to go...
I've only watched it 15 times, so that's why I'd almost forgotten.
Yeah, man. Folks have been very excited on Twitter about the three of us getting back together for one of these podcasts to talk about the trailer, and that's why. That's why we didn't do one immediately after. That's why we didn't do one the day after. We needed to watch the trailer 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 times before
we decide just what do we feel about porgs.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
That's what I feel.
Was that a good noise? Was that your impression
of a porg? That's
a porg
noise.
Okay.
I mean, if you speak porg, then it wouldn't need to be explained.
Oh, well, you know what? It wasn't offered at my high school.
You know, one thing I read that Rian Johnson said about the porgs in reaction to all the Twitter hoopla as with Twitter, you know, people both hating and loving something was that they were really inspired by the puffins on Skellig Island. And he's like, let's just have space puffins. So, that he won't say anything else about them, but he's like, that's where they come from.
Yeah, I think that's great. Hi, by the way, folks, I should probably introduce people. Jenny Josephson is here. Tom Merritt is back. And me, Garrett, we're all back. We're all here to talk about, Star Wars.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about?
And I like that we're kicking things off with porgs, because it definitely hasn't already been killed on Twitter and Facebook and whatever pop culture news website you like to go and read.
You know, there's a funny phenomenon these days, because I very much limit my news intake to a couple of sources to just find out what happened in the world. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things that I only find out by people reacting to the reactions. So I'll see on Twitter, like, well, you know, if you said something about daughters, blah, 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 blah. And I realize, oh, there's something about saying I have two daughters. And then I kind of backtrack it and I find out it has to do with Weinstein. And then I forget about it. Porgs were the same way. I just saw people talking about, you know, the reason people are so upset or having such a reaction about porgs. I'm like, I didn't realize there was a reaction. I mean, I get it, but it sort of, I came at it backwards.
Well, you saw the trailer before you saw those type of responses, right?
Yes, I saw the trailer and I saw the porg, and my immediate thought was like, ooh, that seems a little gratuitous. And then my second thought is, but they're porgs and they're on the island, and of course one might sneak on the Millennium Falcon. As long as the entire movie isn't covered wall to wall with porgs, I'm fine with them because they're super cute.
That's kind of where I land. It's a great creature design. They're flipping adorable. One of the things I always liked about Star Wars, especially when I was a child, was the weird creatures that run around. So I don't see anything out of the Star Wars norm in porgs. But
I like to think that Star Wars Norm is a guy who hangs out at a local bar somewhere near where you live, and all he does is talk about Star Wars, and he's like your favorite guy.
I always check in on the Star Wars Norms.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Or it's a Norms. You know, we have the chain of diners here in Southern California called Norms, and maybe there are like a subset of them that are entirely themed about Star Wars.
Yeah, you go into one from the outside, it looks like a normal Norms, and then you walk inside and you're just like, oh my God, this is a replication of
Star Wars Norms.
It's a replication of
pancakes. Pancakes are $20
and shaped like Death Stars, which is to say they're round.
Was there something we were going to talk about?
This is fantastic. So, all right, around the table, just gut reaction to the trailer as a whole, pulling us out of this porg nosedive. Tom Merritt.
Do porgs have beaks? Would it be a beak dive? Okay, so let me tell you the story of how I watched the trailer. I was traveling for a wedding, so we were in London. Which meant that the trailer, while it dropped at a reasonable, 5:30 p.m. or whatever here, came about at somewhere around 4 in the morning. Second fact you need to know is that my wife often lays in bed and watches videos while I'm trying to go to sleep, which depending on my mood, will just sort of lull me to sleep or annoy me when she waits for a long time and then suddenly plays thing. I wake up at 4 a.m. to a sound. And I'm thinking, my gosh, Eileen's still up? And now she's just suddenly started watching videos. And then I recognize the sound. And I don't say a thing. She doesn't say a thing. We just both sit up and she's playing the trailer on her phone at 4 a.m.
That's
amazing.
I guarantee a much more fantastical way to experience this trailer for the first time than I think Jenny or I may have gone through.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, Tom's will be the best, but mine may come in second.
All right, Jenny, let's hear it.
Okay. So saying that Tom's is clearly the best for being in another country at 4 a.m. in bed, you win. Mine was I was doing the thing again where I buy an entire row of Star Wars tickets to The Last Jedi, and I had learned that you never wait to look if the tickets are on sale until you don't wait till after the trailer premieres because they always go on sale early. So I literally ran, I was checking our local theater to see when they would go on sale. They went on sale about an hour or so before the trailer. I ran over. I did the thing. I bought the tickets. I made some guy named Gage so happy because he got the printout movie tickets that went to the floor and touched the floor. And he was like giddy as a school child. And then I ran back here and the trailer was on. There was 2 minutes left in the half and the trailer was on. And I just held the tickets in my hand and watched the trailer. And I was like, God, movie theaters are corrupt, but this is great.
Oh, God, that's adorable. If you were 5 years old and you rode your bike to do that and we shot this, that would be the opening to the season of Stranger Things or something.
No, absolutely.
That's just incredible. I just turned on YouTube instead of watching football and watched the trailer. That's what I did.
So Jenny's story or my story wins. Jenny's story is pretty good. I might say Jenny's story wins, but
I don't know. The idea of coming out of a dead sleep to the noise of Star Wars.
Well, and no, not a word was spoken.
Yeah.
By either of us. Just.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where I think you eke it out just a little bit, Tom, because it was just this silent bond.
Marriage between you telepathy.
Two. Yeah. Yeah, that's just that's just awesomeness. The one cool thing I had was I was recording a podcast at the time that those tickets went on sale because they went on sale before the trailer went up.
Right.
And I promise other co-hosts that of shows I do that may be listening, I usually don't do this, but I clicked on I clicked on my phone just idly while I was not having to talk. And I saw I had a text from my friends, Ben and Abby, who I mention on the show all the time because of the biggest Star Wars, the only people I know that are as big a Star Wars nerds as me that I don't do a podcast.
They hang out with Star Wars Norm. That's
exactly
Star Wars Norm.
Exactly. Yep. I'm going to start calling Ben Star Wars Norm from now on. I'm just going to replace his name. And they had texted me. They're like, hey, we got four tickets in the cart for the local Cine Bistro with the nice seats and the food and the good bar. Do you want? And I'm just all caps. Yes, yes, yes. Go, go, go. Just do it. So while I was unable to shop for tickets, my good friends hooked Katie and I up. So we'll be going and sitting in electric recliners that are plush as all get out to watch The Last Jedi for the first
time.
I'm very excited. But
all right.
I don't think anyone said their reaction to the damn trailer. Did you like it? Were you skeptical?
Are we going shot by shot or overall impression?
I mean, I think we'll start with overall impression and then go and then get into the shots. Yeah. I love the trailer. Don't take my the wrong way. I think it's got great shots and I've been poring over it, trying to tell what they are. I think it is intentionally misleading. And I don't have a problem with that yet, although I suppose if I watch the movie and then go, well, it wasn't misleading or it misled me in the wrong direction, I could be upset. Right now, I think they're trying to imply something to me that is not true, especially very much right there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And the two main things I'll point out, obviously, at the end, when Rey says, I'm trying to find my place in this world, I don't think she's saying it to Kylo. I don't think those are two scenes that are next to each other, which might be why Rian Johnson said, don't watch the trailer. Because when Kylo holds his hand out, I don't think it's in response to that line. Could be totally wrong. My thinking is she's saying that to Luke and they just cut it to make it more intriguing. I do think that Kylo is going to offer her to come with him again, because he already did it once, and it's going to be a more, you know, on the edge of your seat moment of like, oh my gosh, would maybe she's actually considering it this time. Because I think, and here's the other part, I think those books, which they have sort of implied in the previous trailer, are on the island with Luke, are not on the island with Luke. And I think she and Kylo are going to arrive at those books at the same time.
Hmm.
That is interesting.
Solid geological theory. And I say geological because the geology is all you have to go on in trailers like this. What do the rocks look like?
Yep.
Garrett, what was your overall?
Chills and everything. Pretty much the same, like seeing the movie for the first time. You just come out like, Star Wars is the greatest thing ever. And then the more you think about it, the more you start picking it apart.
There's all of Star Wars fandom in one sentence.
I thought it was a fantastic trailer. Got me really excited. I literally had goosebumps at the end. So there's
that. I'm just going to say it. I made a porg noise like several times throughout the trailer before the porg even made the noise. Ah! It was like great. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I can get much more specific, but my overall impression was, is it December yet?
The wait is, I'm glad that they waited this long at this point, because now that I've seen this, I just want to go watch the damn movie. But all right, let's get real nitty gritty nerdy about it and go kind of point by point. Everyone's already debating it. The first damn thing in the trailer is Snoke speaking to Kylo, but probably Rey, or maybe Anakin's Force Ghost. No one knows.
My vote is Rey. So I did a shot. I literally did a shot list, which I should probably have shared with you guys, which I could probably share with you guys. But basically, it starts with, it goes dark side, light side, back to dark side, space, and then everything mushes together into an awesome end. And so you got all of this. I do think that that's a totally misleading voiceover. I do believe very strongly that he's talking to Rey and not Kylo. You've got the Kylo stuff and you've got the dark side stuff. One of the things I noticed, did you notice this, Garrett? Because you're a design guy, the subtle way that the Imperial walkers look like they have their knuckled fists walking on the ground.
Yes.
They look different, almost as if they're clawed into the ground to make it harder to knock them over with like wire.
There's actually been a lot of talk in interviews about these. They are just a straight up new design. They're called ATM-6s. I've just been calling them gorilla walkers because they look like gorillas running on all fours with their knuckles.
And there's mist.
And there's mist?
Yeah, so there'd be gorillas in the mist.
Oh,
you.
Tom Merritt. Anything you. For the pun.
Also, did you notice on the front of the forearm or the front legs were like these serrated vents that open? I think it's to cut harpoon lines.
Yep. Yeah. Harpoon defense. They call them Skywalker ridges.
It's so great. Like, just to be able to take all that in from one stinking shot is amazing.
I love Star Wars vehicles. I had books and books and books and toys and models of them growing up. So I was just really excited to see them move. We get to see them take basically one step, and I was already just a 10-year-old kid again.
And this is definitely Canto Bight, because you see that red dust. So those vehicles that we saw kind of skimming along the ground are obviously headed into battle with these ATMTs.
I thought this was great.
Or ATM-7s.
I thought this was
ATM-6s? I don't know. It's a number. Ain't nothing but a number.
What is it, Garrett?
This is the planet Crate, not Canto Bight.
No, ATM-6, is that right?
Oh, yeah, it is ATM-6.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Crate, and Canto Bight is the casino planet, I think. But
is Crate, sorry. Yeah, I'm screwing it all up.
I gave entirely up on planet names because I was like, I'll know them eventually. I was just, this is the planet with the red stuff that comes out of the ships.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be your live YouTube comments, guys. Don't worry.
It's your generation.
I was counting on that. That's why I was like, wait, come on, correct me. I'm getting this model number wrong.
Could we just talk briefly about the shot after that with the flowy lava walk? Because I only know one flowy lava planet where evil lives.
Oh, Mustafar. Yeah, they're going right. there.
Don't you think?
I think that's on Crait. I think that's an interior shot of the Rebel base, and they have a darker cavern that they've blown through, and the red is the red minerals that we're already seeing on Crait, but it looks scarred because it was blown in, and they're breaching the resistance base. Also, there's...
The Verge says they look very much like the rocks on Octo, so...
Who knows? I mean, planets.
Yeah, but if it's on Octu or Octo... then why is there red underneath? I mean, there's so much red underneath with every shot we got of Crait that I'm thinking this is a Crait breach, because it's every shot that we got of Crait in this trailer is Empire Strikes Back Hoth battle as hell. And we see Kylo's shuttle in that shot with the gorilla walkers. We get basically the same shot in Empire with Vader breaching the Hoth base.
I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to make Octo Crait again.
Oh God! Get off the podcast, Merritt.
Get out of here, Tom.
Don't poison our purity, Star Wars magic.
Sit in the corner and think about what you've done.
Well played. On to the light side, right? So here's the recurring motif visually. So I watched, just to contextualize this, I watched this trailer three different ways, which is I watched it visual only with no audio. Audio only with no visuals, closed my eyes, and then I did a music listen, which we'll get to in a second. But the one thing I noticed when you took the audio away from this trailer is that when you start with Rey, the sky is blue, the rocks are green, the lightsaber is bright, everybody's kind of working, focused, happy. And then as you go through it, it gets darker, like the sky gets sort of like Ireland cloudy. And then stuff gets darker and darker and darker. And, you know, visual cues. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, in that last shot, she's in a red glow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that was my main takeaway from everything about Rey, and that her arc is leading you to this momentous thing, and I'll get to the thing that proves that beyond a shadow of a doubt in a second. But that island, I really want to go live on it.
I'm sure they'll let you. It doesn't seem like it's very difficult,
it's not protected at all,
get to, or you have to pull permits to shoot on it, or put poor Mark Hamill through strenuous torture of having to climb stairs because you can't land a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to build an actual Millennium Falcon. By the way,
I really love how Luke in every shot looks like a guy who just discovered the bad part of the internet. Like, he looks really stressed out.
That was, for me, I think the single biggest treat of the trailer was finally getting to watch Mark Hamill deliver lines as Luke Skywalker.
Agree.
It did not disappoint. His first few lines that we get to see, a scared but angry Luke in this.
Well, and that's the one thing I'm looking forward to most, is how Luke he gets. The Han Solo was very Han Solo throughout The Force Awakens. Leia, a little less so, because Leia's become a general. She's actually experienced growth as a character since we last saw her, whereas Han kind of has reverted to being Han again. That's the problem. And I feel like I want to know how much Luke is left and which Luke is it. It's definitely not going to be the one who's whiny about going to Tashi Station. But is it going to be the Luke who's losing his faith on Dagobah? Or will it be just kind of a more jaded version of the Luke in black, who shows up on Tatooine to rescue Han and Leia?
Yeah, I think this seems like a very natural progression from where he was at the end of Return.
I feel like it might go a little bit more towards the Luke who's lost faith on Dagobah. I don't know, but that's all we're seeing is scared Luke, because she can levitate rocks and crack things in half, and that island's not very stable as it is. So you go cracking that island, I'd be scared too.
Yeah, it's probably Luke in it post being in a wood pile with a hand coming out. It's like somewhere between the Terminator and Carrie.
I survived a fire, okay?
I survived a pile
from
of wood.
My nephew.
Yeah, that's the Luke I think it is.
And that's why this I think explains why his hand is metal. Is he was that the hand's exterior probably burned off in that fire.
Oh, that's fascinating. Actually, yeah. And he was like, I'm going to keep this as a badge of shame.
Well, if that happened, then I'm kind of sad he doesn't have more burns on his body to give me a Vader throwback. But
yeah,
sure.
Well, he got out of it. He didn't necessarily.
He wasn't like right in it.
The biggest question there is like, why was he in like a pile of timber when in the next shot he's kneeling down in front of what looks like a burning stone structure?
Well, that's when he got it. He got out.
Like, does he just have a little Yoda hut on the hill overseeing the Jedi Temple, and first they set fire to it and then blew his house up?
These are all things we're going to find out, I think.
I think you're right.
Little human Yoda hut. That's what I want to say. I hope he builds it small so all the younglings have to duck.
He better
hit
carry Rey on his back, too. That's all.
Oh, jeez.
I just want to say that, though, my favorite part is how amazing Mark Hamill's eyes look. His blue eyes.
Rey should carry Luke on his back.
Yes.
Guys, you're not correcting me on my mistakes. You're leaving it to the
You conference. Never make mistakes, so we're literally stunned. It must be the jet lag. So it's one of those like things where like you can really see like the eyes and his so they're sort of like pale and water. I don't know. It's just amazing. It blew my mind. Yeah, no, it's just like our little Luke is all grown up.
Well, he's not only grown up, he's older than Ben Kenobi now.
I know.
And he is, which is nuts to think about. Back real quick, the opening shots with Kylo, not the one where he's, it looks like he's a supervisor on an assembly line, but we see him we get a quick shot of him with his helmet on and then a close up of his lightsaber on the ground and he's picking it up and it's a red room. And in the background, you can see what looks to be those new Praetorian guards, which are the revamped version of the Royal Guards from Return of the Jedi. Anyone else getting the feeling that he's in the doghouse and he's about to have to fight those damn guards?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. I wonder why his lightsaber's on the ground, sure, but I don't think he's going to fight the guards.
I think he's in Snoke's doghouse. I feel like I could see the words just before he goes to pick that up is like, pick it up, like angrily. Like he's about to be tested or something or disciplined in some way.
I don't get that vibe at all. I get it's more like pep talk time. Like, Kylo, you did the right thing. You killed your dad. That's what you needed to do.
But wouldn't a dark side pep talk? Wouldn't a dark side pep talk be fighting Praetorian guards? Like, aren't those two things not mutually exclusive? Like,
well,
here,
no, a dark side pep talk is you killed your dad. Good job. Don't get all light side and feel bad about it.
Right. That's true.
I guess he could throw his lightsaber down and then need the pep talk and then go back and pick it up. I don't know. I just find it like, why would it be there? Why would it be sitting on the ground?
Is it a new one? Like, did he lose the last one on giant icy fire planet? So maybe it's a new one.
It's a little pick me up present. So it's like, I made you a new one.
It's the exact
same
hilt.
This one won't
be
nearly as janky as the last one, I promise. Right.
It's the exact same hilt. And Star Wars is very methodical about when a lightsaber is lost, they build a brand new damn version of it. Sometimes they even change the color.
True dat. So my only thought about Rey in these scenes is my favorite shot is like right at the end of this segment of the light side segment where she's hanging off a rock right after Luke looks all freaked out by her superpowers of rock cracking. And the look in her eyes is literally just like, what the hell, dad? And it's just like, just such a teenager shot. And it's such an interesting dynamic because they really are. They're working that so hard. Like they're all but crunching Rey and Kylo together like twins. I don't know. It makes them really like they are really pushing the duality of those two. And then they're really pushing like, all right, they're pushing the dad thing hard. I don't know. It's just me. Just a feeling I get. And I'll tell you more why later. My proof. My final proof.
I did not get any dad vibe. I mean, other than like master student vibes. Yeah. That's the only vibes I got out of this.
Yeah, neither did I. I didn't get any.
Well,
any...
I'll tell you why. I'm holding on. All right.
I didn't get any familial vibes. By the way, through those multiple Ray shots that we get on the training on the island, right before we get to the interior shot of the tree cavern with the books, what do we want to call that thing? The tree library? Can we start calling it that?
The ent with books inside of it?
Sure, the book ent. We're going to call it the book ent. Yeah.
So it's an interior shot?
Yes. Oh,
there it is. Yeah.
There absolutely. It is. That's just winding up.
I'm just going to keep moving past these. right before that shot, we get a very quick snap of Ray hiking through a gray landscape that's like shrouded in fog, and she's heading towards what looks like multiple dead trees or maybe just one big dead tree. Who knows? But... I'm at the point now where when I see Ray and any gray at all, I just start freaking out that we're going to finally get Gray Jedi in a film. So This isn't helping is what I'm trying to say.
It's just foggy.
I think it's on that island, though.
Yeah, right? I think so, too.
It's real foggy. And it's the shot of her inside that interior is very, very monotone as well.
Yeah.
Compared to the...
And she's always wearing gray in all these shots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or yep. Whatever color an ace bandage is after it's been wrapped around your arms for a while.
Well, and actually, in the behind the scenes shots that was the last video that we got, we did see Rey in her what was basically the costume from Force Awakens, but it's gray instead of tan, and we didn't see that at all. I don't think in this trailer. So I wonder when the wardrobe change comes and why.
Mm. Yeah. All right. I'll think that one through. The only thing I got from the next segment was, okay, Kylo, you are still punching walls. Chill out.
But he's breaking his helmet in that shot.
What?
I didn't get that.
He is punching his
helmet into the wall and shattering it into pieces.
Oh, I thought he was just punching a wall. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, you know, in the teaser, we saw the shattered helmet and... I was like, why? Why would he do that? Why does this happen? And now we actually see it happening, but we still don't know why.
It's because he's mad that they didn't have any Darth Vader themed bandages and he had to use that stupid carbon fiber Band-Aid.
Am I the only one who thinks that Band-Aid is super cool? I've seen so many people making fun of it. I think it's awesome. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh man, that's a great look.
So can we just talk about the epic space section of this?
Yes, because just space battles.
Can I just read you very quickly what I wrote down for this? And I probably won't read it all, but I might. So my heading is space. And then I wrote, this is shot for shot. Bad things happening to good ships. TIE fighters and a cool adapted TIE fighter. Kylo flying, which we have not seen yet, but clearly implied he's as good as his granddad. Cool space stuff. Leia knows the kids outside. Kylo knows mom's inside. Leia radiating focused concern. TIE fighter display. Pan to Kylo finger on button. Kylo struggle to blow mom out of sky. Leia. One blink. So heartbreaking. Such stillness. There. That's the space section. Just blew my mind.
I think... Leia looks like she did in Bespin, that she's communicating with Kylo in that moment. He's about to shoot her and she's telling him to stop.
I
think she's radiating mom vibes. I'm your mom. Cause that's clearly like the face he's making. It's like, it's not even words. It's just like, hey, remember all those times I hugged you? And what it felt like, I think that's what she's sending out.
Oh, I think you're going to hear a Ben.
I think so, too. I don't usually make notes outside of the show notes, but I have extensive personal notes and I wrote down the exact same thing. I think they're communicating with each other through the Force.
A lot of words. No, right. I agree with you, Jenny. It's mostly just feelings, but I think we'll hear a Ben and maybe a mom and then a no. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it's going to be wordless. I think the trend in movies is towards wordless emotion.
Leia looks sad, but accepting.
Well, it has been since before the talkies.
Yeah, No, but I'm just saying, like, the think about, like, in Star Trek, the labor of love scene when they're giving birth to Kirk, and, like, instead of hearing all the screaming and the whatever, it goes to silent and music. And that trend has, I think, has been really growing. Like instead of you hearing someone screaming, no, you just see it now with music, because, like, it's too tropey. And I don't know. My instinct says you're going to hear, you're not going to hear.
We're talking about the Force, though. So I think all bets are off there.
I know.
I think it's going to be really dramatic music, and the music is going to fade out when that happens. And we're going to hear some.
I have the under
speaking.
On talking. Let's put it that way. You guys have the over.
All right. sounds like a plan. Real quick, like, little tiny notice thing. Did you guys notice on the close up of Luke's robot hand, he still got the blast scar on it from when he was shot fighting on a Jabba's sail barge?
Oh, nice. See, so it is the same hand.
It's just it's poking out right from the linen of his sleeve, and you can see a big scorch mark.
So if we see him pre Jedi Temple exploding, we're actually going to see that hand, theoretically.
Well, yeah, because apparently he's never swapped it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just saying, like, the same. You're just going to see him with a human hand.
Does maybe. Maybe. I mean, I think it's still up in the air whether his he just has robot hand when he founded the temple. Who knows? There might be a Marvel comic coming this October explaining how Luke lost his skin, his hand skin.
That's gross. Fair, though. Fair, but gross.
They literally did that for C-3PO's red arm, so.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't read that.
Neither have I, because I'm not interested in how C-3PO got his red arm.
I mean, I read it. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't. It's like, oh, okay, now I know.
I feel that way about a lot of these things, but that's a side note.
The problem with the extended universe stuff now, the new extended universe stuff, is that they're so worried about spoiling that every story is so self-contained, it doesn't feel like it's really giving you a revelation. So C-3PO's are, you know, that it's like, oh, so that's how he ended up with the red arm. But it doesn't touch any other elements of the story because they don't want to spoil anything.
Right. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, in the context of all the new fiction, that is a very boring little slice that I'm not super interested in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because while the Aftermath trilogy has the same issue, at least they're dealing with a full-blown war. So it's an interesting read.
So now you get into the heavy resistance part of it after Chewie and the Porgs, which sounds like a great name for a 50s doo-wop band. But the space battle is the first time we see Poe Dameron, right? And he's all looking all intense and smoldery and stubbly, and that's pretty cool. And he's got a good speech about determination and blah, blah, blah.
We are the spark that will light the fire that will burn the First Order down. Shut up and fly, said Snap Wexley.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, Poe looks positively surprised looking out. I don't know what it's his bedroom window on one of the ships. So I think the First Order got the drop on the resistance for that space battle.
Mm-hmm. What the what?
Mm-hmm. And then they're all, then you can imagine from the teaser trailer, they're all running around like crazy trying to get to their ships, and it doesn't go very well.
He was just sitting there reading his copy of Lost Stars and trying to lull himself to sleep. And
yeah.
Or he's watching those made-for-TV movies again, the really terrible ones about that time before.
Oh, about the Clone Wars?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, man, was Anakin really this whiny? I just can't imagine that guy became Darth Vader.
Yeah. And then finally we see BB-8. We have not seen much of BB-8 in this trailer. And he's in the classic R2 droid position in an X-Wing. So cool.
Yeah. Also, his X-Wing has some new extra super special booster on the back center.
Sure it does.
Well, and in the middle of all this, don't we get the Finn Phasma face-off?
Yes, we do.
ACE.
I'm not sure what I'm the most excited about here, knowing that Finn and Phasma fight, or that Phasma's fighting with a damn spear.
Yes, that's what I noticed too.
It's the riot baton, right?
No, that's what Finn's fighting with.
Well, no, she's got the riot baton, but she's got a spear.
Yeah, okay. She has a chrome spear. And after reading Phasma, I'm just geeking out hard, seeing her fight with what is basically a tribal weapon.
Yep. It's so interesting, without spoiling Phasma yet, which we haven't decided to do, but it's just so interesting watching just that brief thing of her, and now I have a complete picture of who's under that hood there. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I hope there's a lot more.
That is not to say, folks, anything about what you find out in the book.
Yeah. It's just that now I know it.
She's saying she has a complete picture in her mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Complete picture in my mind. I was speaking metaphorically about a character I now know much better than I did in the first movie. And it adds so much. So go read that book, guys.
Yeah. I have not watched Force Awakens since I finished Phasma.
Have you guys ordered your Detraxors yet?
I have not, because they creep me out.
They're so gross.
They're
down here in Southern California. You need that against the sun.
Jeez. Damn it, Tom. Oh, man, we really need to spoil that book. Maybe the next episode. I know we said it'd be this one, but a trailer kind of happened. So, yeah.
All right. I have a big, big question. Yeah. Okay. I think we're to the point where Luke is lying on the ground, kind of wet.
They look like they're in a...
saying, this is not going to go the way you think. This is, I guess, the third of my, I don't think this shot means what they're making you think it means.
Right.
Because it feels like they're trying to make you think that this is, you know, somehow they've attacked Luke now because they just showed this big battle. I think he's saying it to Rey.
Yep.
See, I
think everything is from somewhere else unless you see their mouth move.
Okay. See, I thought the trailer was trying to make me think he was saying it to Rey because we see Luke in that cavern and then we see Rey fall down into the water in what I'm assuming is the same cavern. So I think he's saying it to Kylo after he and the Knights of Ren attack the island.
I see. That's another. Well, yeah.
Could be.
It's the placement in the trailer doesn't have him next to Rey, though. Oh, after BB-8.
Right. Well, I'm saying, space battles. You're right. And then it cuts to Leia while he's finishing that line. It cuts to Leia in front of the blast door closing.
Super cool.
Maybe he's saying it to the Ice Fox.
Those things are super freaking cool, by the way.
No, I mean, it's not a middle Star Wars sequel unless the base is somewhere cold. So I really appreciate that. I think that's a good thing. And I also really like Leia's sad Leia widow cloak. It's a good look.
That is some high fashion Lady Gaga awesomeness. I love it.
Yeah. Are we going to see a Han burial scene?
Well, there's nothing to bury.
I hope so.
That's what that still makes me think, is it's a memorial or something.
They're on Corellia or something. I don't know.
Yeah. They've frozen him in carbonite one last time.
Well, that shot of her is in front of a blast door that is closing. I think it's the same blast door that's closing in the Fox shot, which is again on Crate, because you can see the salt flats outside the door.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you think salt. I thought cold snow.
Oh God. I think because Crate comes up in the Leia novel, and there's also a comic coming out about Crate. It was a site of a rebellion era rebel base, and then apparently for this movie they repurposed it into a resistance base.
Maybe they bury Han on Crate.
Or I guess metaphorically bury him there, because what's left of Han? He fell into the core of a planet harnessing sun power.
So you would just
power.
Make a sort of a memorial mound, like a barrow.
Yeah.
And then it would be a crate and barrow.
Have we ever seen...
Oh, Tom Merritt, you're in trouble with the pun police, let me tell you what.
Yeah, you're on timeout. And now you're making me think, have we ever seen anyone buried in Star Wars? I can only think of cremations.
No.
Yeah, no burials, just cremations.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you saw Amidala going off to sort of an uncertain destiny, but she was still in her peaceful.
That's true.
Yeah, so she's the only one, but she wasn't a Jedi, so. So where were we?
We're at Finn.
Oh, Finn, who finally shows up in this trailer.
Yeah, Finn kind of got the short end of the stick on this.
Oh, yeah, he was in the Phasma part, but he's very late in the trailer, which is interesting.
Yeah, it looks like he's being arrested for going undercover.
Well, he was passed out last time we saw him, so he needed a little recovery time.
Yep, he's out of the back to tank. I like that we're getting the story of Finn just through trailers, because in the teaser, he's still unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And now in the trailer, he's awake in a First Order uniform and fighting.
He's already been captured. Phasma.
Yeah, that's the only thing I look at in this movie and say, like, without a doubt, that's a spoiler. I'm like, well, I know now when Finn tries to infiltrate the First Order, it doesn't go well.
So can we talk about Fleshly Snoke?
He's so nasty looking.
That is first name.
Yeah, Fleshly. Hello, I'm Fleshly Snoke. I have blue eyes. That is important.
What is that voice?
I don't know. It's my version of Fleshly Snoke.
Oh my god. I love
it. It's better than the Gollum voice he's using.
I love the decision to give him a fabulous gold robe because it just makes his fleshiness look even worse. It just magnifies it.
Well, we are definitely getting an Emperor Jedi moment here because he's saying, fulfill your destiny. And the next shot has someone in a gold robe. So this is the first time where I'm like, I think these two shots do happen in the same sequence. Somehow torturing Rey. Now, I have always maintained that Snoke didn't have the Force powers, which is why he needed Kylo, but I may be wrong about that.
I wonder if every big bad, though, has to have Force powers for a while still.
Or maybe he's torturing her some other way.
Yeah.
It does look like he's just kind of like grabbing, you know, not Force choking her, but, you know, Force torturing her.
Blast. It looked like a blast.
Yeah.
Like blast of energy.
I mean, how could he? It'd be pretty damn difficult for him to train Kylo if he doesn't know how to wield it himself.
Well, that's been my maintaining. I've maintained that for a while, that Kylo was trained by Luke and that's all he knows about the Force, but he's really powerful with it. And which is why he's focused on Grandpa, because he's trying to get inspiration from Grandpa to learn how to wield the Force. And he's not very good at it, which is why he's always losing his temper and just kind of erratic. And his lightsaber doesn't work very well because he hasn't been properly trained. He doesn't have a proper Sith master.
Huh. I've never thought of him as a poor wielder of the Force, because we see him stop a bolt midair.
He's just powerful, but he's not. Yeah. He's not precise. He's not. So Darth Vader was like sharp. He knew exactly what he was doing all the time. Kylo's erratic.
That's a good point. I didn't really thought of that. But we also never saw Vader just freeze people with the Force, which I think is just supremely cool. It makes Kylo come across as maybe a little more well trained. But
or just innately has that.
He got a really good training from Luke and then turned. That's my that's been my supposition up until now.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if they probably didn't think this far ahead when they're actually penning Return of the Jedi, but we did see Luke force choke a Gamorrean at the beginning of Return of the Jedi, and I guarantee you, Yoda didn't teach him that.
He just knew how to do it.
Well, it's a pretty damn good trailer.
It is a pretty damn good trailer. And so we're both agreeing that those final shots of Rey and Kylo not happening in the same scene.
I think it's less than 10%.
I think they're in the same scene, but I think that the audio is not connected to that scene.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure they are in the same scene, because Kylo, there's burning embers all over the place, and there's not a single spark on Rey when they cut to her.
But there is an orange glow.
Works either way. That's all. And Kylo is not wearing his Band-Aids anymore.
No.
Yeah, so it's later.
No.
Would you guys like to hear my third pass of the movie, the music pass? Because it's really interesting. So you have to say yes. So somebody say yes.
Yes.
This is like the exit row. We have to verbally.
Okay, so I'm obsessed with movie scores, right? And soundtracks. Like, I'm just sort of like, they're my dopamine. So I listen really carefully to all of them. Now, granted, every trailer of any movie is usually always using some version of temp music, right? Especially the teaser. Like, they're using like extras from, or little bits and bobs from previous recordings, because I haven't gotten John Williams into Abbey Road yet to record the next new batch of music. But by the time you get to a full trailer, they've usually got something, and it's all very pointed. So the most important thing, like, look, you've got the little harp thing that they always have at the beginning of these movies. That's usually under the Lucasfilm thing, but it wasn't this time. You've got like the music from The Force Awakens is very present here. And so what was interesting is in the teaser trailer music was a really beautiful interweaving of Luke's theme from the binary sunset scene of The New Hope, which is ba-na-na-na-na-na, right? with Rey's theme, right? And they just did that very harmoniously interweaving. That's in the teaser. Here, there's something very important, which you'll hear if you go back again, which is amidst all this other music we've heard before, are these solo piano notes. And in the very beginning, you hear it over Snoke and Kylo, and it's a sort of like minor key. It's like five notes and it ends on a minor chord. And so you're very clear about this person who's standing in front of Snoke. Like Kylo is where he is and it's a minor theme. But this is so intense. The next time you hear music that's a solo piano theme, it's over Rey. And it's Luke's, it's a very slowed down version of the binary sunset when Luke's standing on Tatooine looking out at the two suns. It's the second half of it and it's uncompleted. So they don't finish it. So you don't actually know if it ends on a minor note or a major note. And that's everything you have to say about Rey in this whole trailer. So the music to me, and that's why I'm so like into the idea of Rey still as Luke's son, because they keep harping on that binary sunset theme every time you see Luke and Rey together. Now, sure, that could just be a Jedi thing, but it's very specific. That particular theme is very specific to Luke as a person. So anyway, that's my music rant. And it's, I think it's saying a lot to us about what we're going to find out in this movie.
Well, that's just damn incredible. And I definitely picked up on Luke's theme, but I didn't put any thought to where it ended or what it left unfinished. And it makes what the rant I wanted to have about Kylo's costume seem really dumb now. So
no, I really want to hear it too. Everybody's got a special skill. Yours is design. Mine is music. Tom's is puns. It's all good.
So in those final two shots, we get two shots of Kylo, you know, one a close up on his face and one a close up of him extending his hand. He has a new costume for this movie. He doesn't have a cloak anymore. He has a cape. He's not wearing his helmet anymore. And even his tunic's different than it was in the last movie. Now it has, vertical quilting, stitching across it that kind of pulls in the design aesthetic from his arms from the first movie. But now it's across his whole damn top. And you can see it on his shoulders in the close-up of his face in that final shot. But when it cuts to his like abdomen and arm extending, it's a little blurry. But I can't make out a single damn stitch. Like, it looks like it's a completely different costume. Those are his gloves. And his belt, unless he is slinging it low like Daddy, is missing.
Huh.
Well, maybe he's got a onesie now.
I don't...
Or maybe it got pulled off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just thought it was strange, and it makes me think it made me think that this might be shot after the fact, specifically for the trailer, just to screw with us.
Very possible. Very possible.
Because there were shots in the Force Awakens trailer that just never made it to the movie, like the shot of Maz handing Leia Luke's lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
Just stricken from the movie entirely. Although we found
where's Maz? Where's Maz Kanata?
Yeah, where's Maz Kanata?
I mean maybe she's not in this at all, but I don't need her in a trailer. That's fine.
I'll tell you where she is, because her last name is Kanata. She's avoiding the trailer.
There was no Snap Wesley either. That was good. I like that.
Very, very inside baseball for folks that listen to similar podcasts, but yeah.
Yeah, that was a good trailer.
Pretty much, yep. That's how I feel. I know I'm being pandered to. I probably wouldn't have had my hair standing on end if it wasn't for like the music. But all around, a damn good thing. I will say, after the fact, I'm now a little concerned that it's going to be too close to Empire, because the crate stuff is really invoking Hoth, so much so that.
Well, so did Starkiller Base.
Well, and that was my least favorite.
I mean, Han got to wear his Hoth coat again, practically. Yeah. So. I felt like they did a lot of Empire stuff in Force Awakens. This is going to be a different episode. They're just playing some themes. They're like, we're going to have some AT-AT like things, and we're going to have a temptation scene and probably a crazy revelation. But I don't consider Force Awakens note for note. I think it's ridiculous when people are like, it's a note for note recreation. And no, it's not.
No, it's absolutely
you line
not.
Those two movies up, A New Hope and Force Awakens together, they do not match up. There are just lots of similarities. And I think that's probably going to be even less true of Last Jedi, but I think there will be some similarities.
I agree.
All right. Well, let's pull the e-brake and talk about Chuck Wendig defending Ewoks on Twitter, because that's the second best Star Wars thing to happen this week.
I was going to say it's the first best thing to happen, because when I found it, I literally thought I had died and gone to heaven, because just the day before, someone had somehow roped me into defending Ewoks to our friend Scott Johnson. Uh-huh. And I don't know why I was chosen, but I think I had tweeted something like, I really loved Ewoks because I was 7 years old when Jedi came out, and I don't care who knew it. The very next day, here comes Chuck Wendig, who is, by the way, the author of those Star Wars books,
the Aftermath
series, which I was kind of neutral on except for certain parts. And then, holy cow, I'm now a Chuck Wendig disciple. And I feel like I don't want to read it to you, even though it's very tempting, but all I can say is just go to the Chuck Wendig tweet that starts like this. It is now time for the most important thread of my career, even my life, here on Twitter. It is time to defend Ewoks. Hold still. And then it just gets amazing. So go find that tweet.
I would like to say that I also like Ewoks, and I don't even buffer it with, I was young. I just like Ewoks.
Yeah.
I think Chuck Wendig's great. I love this thread. It's very entertaining. I don't like Ewoks. This didn't change my opinion.
Well, yup, nub to you, friend meat.
the arguments that Chuck makes about Ewoks being, cannibals or human eaters anyway, I guess not cannibals, and everything, those are great. All true. And if the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi had been presented that way, I probably would have liked them more. But while those aspects existed, they emphasized their cuteness, and that is probably why I didn't like it as much as a 13-year-old, which is what I was when I saw Return of the Jedi. Maybe I was 14. I think it was
14. Fair enough. I will say
84, right? Yeah.
I will say that this explains Chuck Wendig's Battle of Endor flashbacks in the first Aftermath book, which that was the point where I got on board for the trilogy. That very point.
His Battle of Endor flashback is great.
Yeah, because like the character of Sinjir has PTSD about watching Ewoks eat his friends, and that's the coolest damn take on the Battle of Endor anyone has ever had. Sorry, Lucas.
Agree.
So, Wendig's awesome. And while the Aftermath trilogy, especially I think the middle book, lags a little bit, that the finale is 100% worth the read. That third book is incredible. So, we typically lead the show with personal Star Wars jazz, but we just needed to talk about the damn trailer. So, around the table, starting with Tom, what have you been up to besides, dissecting a 2-minute trailer?
I've been keeping up on the comics. The Poe Dameron comic has an interesting storyline. I'm enjoying it. The Star Wars comic is doing some crazy cool stuff. And like shifting around with perspectives. They had a whole thing from the Scar trooper perspective where they get admonished. And if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to explain it to spoil it, but they're really like intense stormtroopers. And then they shifted it to like an explanation of what it's like to be a Tusken Raider, which ends up being told by someone that I should have immediately realized at the beginning, and it wasn't. But I'm also this close to finishing Phasma, because it just takes me a long time to read stuff, especially when I have to keep reading Sword and Laser stuff at the same time. But I absolutely love it. And when you combine that with the Phasma comic, I feel like I just know so much about Phasma now, and her motivations and her character makes so much more sense. And I'm really interested in what happens to her in Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly.
And also how the experience will be for people who don't know all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's a hard balance.
This is a good point.
Yeah, but they also they did it. They do it with a lot of characters where they add all this stuff behind, and then the motivations and the movements of the character make perfect sense with or without it. And I fully expect that to be what happens here.
Yeah.
I just feel bad for them.
Well, they should read the stuff then.
Yeah, it's really good. They should totes read it.
It's not the kind of stuff where you're going to, if you didn't know it exists, this is what usually happens. And you only get upset if you know it exists and you haven't read it. Because usually if it's done right, and it's done right, I think, a lot more often than people give it credit for, if you didn't know any of this other material existed, it wouldn't matter.
Fair enough. Garrett, do you have anything to say personally?
I'm feeling mildly attacked, and I wonder if it's because you read the notes.
Yep.
Yeah, hey, so I'm coming up on the end of the new Leia novel, and I think it's my least favorite of the new Star Wars books. This is not a video show, so for those at home, Jenny has her fist on her cheek, and she is staring lasers at me.
Garrett can have his opinion. It's okay.
Yeah, he can.
The problem with the world right now is like, oh, if you don't agree with me, you're wrong.
No, I'm just thinking about all the Ewoks I know that would like to eat your nub-yub, which means friend meat, which doesn't make which it sound means, any better.
Which means you guys are friends.
Sure. Okay, no, it's fine because I read it too. I read it in a night. I thought it made me cry. I had a really personal reaction to it, but that's fine. People are different. I do understand that it is written very distinctly as a young adult book, right? And so it has the simplicity and sort of the things are laid out in a way that has a very young adult finish. However, there's some really awesome stuff in there.
There
and
is.
I can't wait to the point where we spoil it.
Okay. Well, I'm in my to walk back my blanket statement.
You don't have to walk it back. I accept you for who you are.
There is some really cool stuff in there. There's a lot of very good stuff, but there's like 7 chapters of Dora the Explorer, and I want to skip them, and I have skipped them, and I haven't skipped a chapter in any Star Wars book, not even the god-awful second Thrawn book that I trudged through.
All right.
Yeah, I just don't know why that's in there, because the whole book would be better if it was just removed.
Okay, well, that's fine. I can't show you the thing that's my personal jazz, but I'm going to show you guys so you can see it, and then I'll describe it for the audience, and then they can just go to my Twitter feed and also see it. So someone, a friend of ours, was up in their attic last night, or the other night, and they casually handed this thing to Matt at work, and they were like, hey, maybe you and Jenny would like this. And
is it a vinyl?
For all intents and purposes, it looks like an original program from A New Hope.
Huh.
It has sort of descriptions. It has like it looks like it's from 1977. It's got 1977 art. It's got like really generic descriptions of the character and the actors, like Mark Hamill was born on this date in Oakland, California. He's a middle son. He grew up in California, Virginia. You know, like, it's really basic. It's like you're meeting these people for the first time. So I think accidentally this nice lady gave us something super valuable that was in her attic. And so I have a picture of it on Twitter, and I'll retweet it again tomorrow when you guys are actually hearing this, maybe. And if you could tell me if you think it's valuable, that would be cool.
Jenny, when I'm there the first weekend of November at BlizzCon, can you come down to the Anaheim Convention Center and bring that with you? Because I would really like to look at that.
Yeah, I absolutely will. Does Tom have it? You have it on the bookshelf?
No, I can't see what you've got.
Yeah,
though.
I took a bunch of pictures. I'll retweet them because it's easier. I took a bunch of pictures of it.
I have a program from Star Wars when it first came out. You know, the kind you buy at Target or Kmart. Right. And so I'm curious if it's similar to that, but it looks different. It looks way different on the front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty neat.
Through Skype, the print quality looks too good to be from 77.
I know, but it is copyright 1977, and it does have a sort of that grainy, soft, it's sort of like what children's books are made out of. Anyway, I will bring it to BlizzCon.
Oh man, I love old Star Wars stuff. I really do. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I want to see that. I really want to see that. So, well, awesome. Jenny, would you like to take us home with some emails, tweets, and such?
Yeah, real quick. Stephen Dodds asks, Snoke, is Snoke Ezra Bridger from Rebels gone bad? His gut says it is, because the Snoke of the toy Snoke, and now we know in the trailer, has blue eyes, and so does Ezra Bridger. Thoughts?
A
lot of people have blue eyes, so that is not enough.
Yeah.
Right.
If we were to make it definitive.
Yeah, if we're talking like orange eyes or black eyes or non-normal eyes that most actors have.
Yeah. Rob Wynn wrote to us, many people wrote to us with their ideas of directors for weirdo Star Wars movies, because we wanted to know like who would be amazing at directing out their Star Wars movies. And Rob Wynn won, because he wrote, oh, come on, you all know that we really want to see a David Lynch directed movie about the rise of Jabba the Hutt.
Nope.
I do.
Oh. Know who else has blue eyes?
Jabba the Hutt.
Kanan Jarrus.
Oh, that face.
He's got milky pale blue eyes because he's blind.
And also the face fits, the thin face fits a lot better than Ezra's sort of peasanty face. No offense to peasants.
He's also young, and because of the style, he kind of just looks like a Ken doll.
Oh my God, yeah. If it's a Kanan, I'm going to be so sad.
That's going to blow my mind.
Yes.
Yeah,
I want to see David Lynch direct a movie about anything in Star Wars. Maybe not the Rise of Jabba the Hutt. Maybe something old.
Finishing the new.
Maybe the Rise of the Sith. That would be cool.
Damn fine Sith Wars.
But it wouldn't actually show the Rise of the Sith. It would just be a bunch of strobe lights, and it would advance the plot in no way, shape, or form.
Finally, Eric Royer wants to know. He's 2/3 of the way through the Thrawn trilogy, and he was wondering, where does one go after you finish that trilogy to find some more Mara Jade goodness? And my only answer is, we will post a Reddit thread in the show notes, because she is a vein that runs through all of the stuff that has now been decanonized, and she is in some way, shape, or another in most anything that involves Luke Skywalker. That's all I'll say. So, you know, maybe the Reddit thread might be a little spoilery, but basically, if you are in a Barnes & Noble or on Amazon or on eBay and you find those old books that have now been banished to the discount bin, look for something about Luke Skywalker after Thrawn, and Mara Jade will be there.
They haven't all been banished. My copy of the Thrawn trilogy is a new reprint with a Disney logo on it and new artwork.
Well, that's nice to know. Some of them get special favorite treatment.
That's true.
Yeah, some of them are still in print, even though they're not canon. Not canon does not mean out of print.
Yeah.
Although not all of them are in print either. I feel like, isn't there, I'm trying to find it, on Wikipedia, if you look up Mara Jade, don't they usually have an appearances section? And then you could just see all the books that she's mentioned in.
Yeah, which is probably the least spoilery way to do it, because it's hard. It's hard to track all those down. So
you have to like scroll, make sure you don't scroll into the actual.
Don't read anything while you scroll.
You'd have to go to Wikipedia, which is very spoiler-centered.
No, they have a little appearances box at the bottom. She's been in
a do a little detective work, I think, is the bottom line.
Okay. Rad. Yeah, I don't know. I still haven't read the third Thrawn book, and the new canon releases are coming fast and furious. I can't keep up. So eventually I'll get back to that. But that does it. Hey, if you want to keep those emails coming, by the way, you can send them to feedback@letstalkaboutstarwars.com. And that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Tom, thank you for joining us after having basically just stepped off of an airplane. Jenny, thank you for not literally jumping through the internet at me in my opinion of the new Leia book. And thank you to our listeners for listening. And also, if you're supporting us on patreon.com/letstalkaboutstarwars, there'll be some updates coming to that very soon, by the way. So keep your eyes peeled. But around the table, before we go, Jenny Justinson, where can folks find all the other things that you do?
In my pocket. No, I'm at Jenny J, JennieJ, 23 on Twitter. And that's the best place to find me.
Mr. Tom Merritt.
I do a show about tech news every day called Daily Tech News Show at dailytechnewsshow.com. And on Fridays, Len Peralta comes and draws things related to the stories we talk about. And at the end of every year, he makes a commemorative poster, and he often themes it around Star Wars. And this year, it's about The Last Jedi. So you can check that out, as well as everything else we do at dailytechnewsshow.com.
I follow him on Instagram and saw that recently.
I'll just give it that.
It's looking solid. It's looking good. Folks, I'm Garrett Art on Twitter, and every other podcast I do can be found over at amove.tv. That's AMOVE.TV. Most of them are video game related. There's one called Erase the Spoilers that's pop culture related. You might enjoy that one if you're not a video game player. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. We want to thank Andrew Allen Trio for their intro and outro music that we use here on this show. You can find more of their work over at andrewallentrio.com. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.